We'll take a look back now at a best-selling book from the 70s, one you might not remember. The Spoils of Babylon by Eric Jonrosh, the epic tale of the powerful yet scandalous Morehouse family. It was made into a television miniseries that never saw the light of day, until now.
My name is Devin Morehouse. Yes, that Devin Morehouse. But I didn't start out with that name.
Actually, everything about The Spoils of Babylon, even the writer, is fake. It's a parody of the big, bloated miniseries of a few decades back, like The Thornbirds or The Winds of War. The series begins this Thursday on IFC, and it stars Tobey Maguire and Kristen Wiig. Will Ferrell appears as the author, Eric Jonrosh, and as the Shah of Iran. The director of Spoils of Babylon is Matt Piedmont. He was a writer on Saturday Night Live, and he's worked with Will Ferrell's Funny or Die production team to bring this tale to the small screen. I asked Piedmont for the Hollywood pitch version of the story, which begins in the late 1930s. Actor Tim Robbins plays the family's patriarch.
Jonas Morehouse. Jonas has gone to Texas from New York to strike out as an oil wildcatter.
You see these hands? This nation was built by hands like these, honest hands. Mostly African and Chinese, laboring under the belief that hard work is a religion unto itself.
Along the way, they pick up Devin Morehouse, becomes a Morehouse. They adopt him.
Literally pick him up by the side of the road.
They do, pick him up the side of the road. This is 1938 now.
Well, you can decide on what you want to call yourself in due time. Hezekiah, Ezekiel, Steve, Jim Bob, Skippy, Jesus, Jerry, Vladimir, Hortensio, Maharishi, Billy.
They end up actually striking oil and becoming rich, very wealthy family. Devin Morehouse, played by Tobey Maguire, and Cynthia Morehouse, played by Kristen Wiig, fall in love, but it's a forbidden love as they're, you know, technically now brother and sister, although not by blood.
Why not?
I can't do this. Devin goes off to war, comes back with a new bride. I won't spoil who the new bride is, voiced by Carey Mulligan, though, very talented actress.
The fact that she has to be voiced gives a little bit of
No, exactly. But I'll just leave it at that. And then Devin goes his own way, becomes kind of a beat poet, kind of goes the green way, and Cynthia ends up taking over the company and becomes a little bit more like a traditional president of an oil company. They're trying to avoid their love for each other, which is very difficult. I know it's kind of a vague. I'm not very good about dishing the plot, but it's that's essentially the gist of it.
And sort of like The Winds of War or North-South,
yes.
The family history intertwined with the telling of America.
Yes, exactly. Thank you. See, why didn't I just have you do it in the first place? You should have. Yeah, great. Exactly.
And the lead characters age pretty well over the course of
They use a lot of special creams and things, so their skin stays very nice and moist. They age over about a 50-year period. So.
Well, you do a lot of playing with time, because not only the work itself spans decades and decades, but the film, the fake film, which we're now seeing here for the first time, was made in 1979.
Yeah, there's a lot of weird meta stuff going on where Will Ferrell is a non-existent author of a non-existent bestseller who introduces this. And then the film was essentially a miniseries that was shot for 3 years from between 1976 and 1979, were never released. It's kind of like Amberson's when Orson Welles made Magnificent Ambersons, and they cut that out, and then they released it. So this was never released, supposedly, and then they now are just he needs the money, so they're doing a truncated version now.
Well, you mentioned Orson Welles, and there's a really Orson Wellesy kind of feel to the character, the author character, Eric Jonrosh, played by Will Ferrell.
Please, won't you enjoy part two of my wonderful miniseries, The Spoils of Babylon?
You know, it made us laugh, the 70s kind of Orson Welles, who, had kind of fallen from grace.
Did a lot of commercials.
Parmesan Winery commercials. You've seen some of those, or maybe he's a little intoxicated actually on air.
Why would I say wonderful? No one says wonderful. Sounds like something a man from a circus would say.
And the bitterness kind of comes through.
Yeah, I think what we liked is that he's bitter. If you see Orson Welles in the 70s, he still likes to hear himself talk. He may be bitter. That may come through pretty obviously. But you can tell once he starts getting warmed up, he likes the tales he's spinning. And so we kind of wanted to combine that in the character that we created for Will and have him to have some fun. Will, you know, there's no one better than Will Ferrell that doing those kind of stuff. So I think we came up with something that he had a lot of fun doing.
After a painful ordeal to bring my popular novels to television, I gave up.
I could see that the network executives cared little for art, so I filmed The Spoils of Babylon on my own. I lived and breathed Spoils for 3 years. I slept with the cast. Every member of the cast you'll see tonight, I slept with. My wife at the time, Laura.
You have this reputation going back to your days as a Saturday Night Live writer for writing stuff that's just brilliant, but just so out there that it couldn't. Do you have more latitude with Funny or Die when you're pitching stuff like this directly to Will Ferrell?
Now, the problem is I think this is all normal. So maybe that says more about me when people say it's out there. To me, I'm pitching a normal idea. I never really think of boundaries or thinking of, is this too much? Or, you know, it's almost like if it's too much, let's go even further. And it seems to have worked out okay so far. But
Matt Piedmont is the writer, director behind the fake Spoils of Babylon, which will be premiering first episode this Thursday, January 9th on IFC. Matt, thank you.
Thank you very much.
Misty visions cloud my mind. All I've had, I've left behind. Like a stranger, I walk alone.
Coming up, a 71-year-old woman hears her father's voice for the first time.
It was so wonderful, and it was not a sad thing at all. It was just a wonderful experience to know that I could hear that voice and that my father said my name.
A soldier who paid the ultimate price finally gets to say hello to his daughter in the next part of All Things Considered from NPR News.